I'd like to say good evening to everybody. It's just a blessing to be in the house of the Lord just one more time. Amen. I thank God for Jesus. A few days ago, I didn't even know I was going to make it. But thank God for Jesus. He spared my life. Yes, God is good, and He's worthy to be praised. Amen. He is good. Sometimes, you know, you go to funerals, you visit the sick, you visit people, and you don't know when it's going to be your time or how close it is to death. But God is good. And I thank God for Jesus for tonight. Thank God for Deacon Bowie for opening us up in devotion this morning. We thank God for all of you who are here. To our pastor, Pastor Rogers, who's not here tonight, to Reverend Mims, all our members and deacons, it's just good to be here. Amen. Amen. We're going to begin with a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you tonight. And we want to give you all the praise, the glory, all the honor, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to teach your lesson. We pray to Heavenly Father that you be lifted up and you be glorified and you be magnified at everything that I do. We pray to Heavenly Father that your will be done in my life. And we pray to God that you be able to anoint these words to Heavenly Father. Let me teach and say what you want me to say. Clear my mind where I can think right. And when everything is said and done, you have all the praise, you have all the glory, and all the honor. It's in the powerful name of Jesus we do pray and do thank you. Amen. Tonight, we're going to look at, I guess, Psalms 25. We're going to look at our usual scripture for tonight. We're going to read that before we get into our text tonight. 25th number Psalm, verses 1 through 5. Pastor, I'd like to read that before we get started. And then we'll go into our text. I'm reading out of New King James Version tonight. And it says, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over you. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. We're going to be looking at the book of Zechariah tonight. We're going to be looking at chapter 4. And we'll be concentrating on verse 6. And it reads, so he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Amen. Before we get started, I'm going to get my pastor out of hot water. He came to visit me. He did come to the house and check me out, make sure that I was going to be able to do Bible study. He asked my wife if I was going to be able to do it. She said no. And I told him that I'm going to be there anyway. It don't matter. So I told him I would be able to do it. He did call and check on me this morning. Made sure that I'm able and ready to do it. So don't fault him for me doing the Bible study. You know, this is something that was set up before I went to the hospital. I thank God for him. You know, he's a big-hearted pastor. I tell everybody, you know, we don't have a good pastor. We have a great pastor. And that's what we have, you know. And he cares about his members. He cares about everybody. And I love him. So, but he did make sure that I was able to do it. And I told him that I could. Although my wife, she got me out of work this week. She told me I'm working from home. That's it. And we thank God for that. All right. Zechariah. We're looking at the whole chapter, pretty much chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Zechariah was a priest as well as a prophet. He was called by God to encourage the returned exiles and rebuilding of God's temple in Jerusalem. He was a contemporary with the prophet Haggai and was facing the same problems that they had, addressing similar concerns according to Ezra chapter 5 verse 1. Zechariah means Yahweh remembers, which is a meaning appropriate to the prophet message of hope to a people that have felt all but forgotten. At the time of Zechariah's first message, about 18 years had passed since Cyrus released Zerubbabel with a group of Jewish exiles to return to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. The work of the temple, however, was brought to a halt due to the pressure from the local authorities. One of Zechariah's tasks was to arouse the people of God, that was discouraged by resistance to complete the task of rebuilding God's temple. When you look at Zechariah, what he was doing was he was trying to encourage God's people by being a prophet. Same way it is right now. We are in a time where we need to be encouraged. And that's what we serve to do. When you look at this verse right here, you look at the whole scripture, when you look at chapter 4 and you zero in on verse 6, God had showed me this, and he was showing me, he was saying that this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. And the same thing it is to the word of the prophets, the pastors today. He's saying it's not by might nor by power, but by his spirit. The problem of it is when you look at this thing, the first thing I see is not by might. Our problem is, as churchgoers and as Christians, we think that in our weakness, we are a hindrance to God. God can use us in every capacity. And the reason why he can use us in every capacity is because we got to realize that God is running this thing. The problem with the church today, we are affluent. We affluent in the community, in homes and family. But the problem of it is we don't want to follow God. And so we got to understand it's not by our might. So what I'm saying is God is not hindered by our lack of participation. And what I mean by that is you just look around. Pastor made an announcement last week. He said that he wasn't going to be here. So people just fall off coming to Bible study because the pastor's not going to be here. Our dedication should be to the Lord and not to the pastor and to this church. If we're going to further the gospel, if we're going to further the ministries, then our dedication got to be to God. And so that's what Zechariah was trying to paint a picture, was our hindrance is and a lack of participation is not a hindrance to God's program. God will use whoever he will. If we decide not to come, if we decide not to be a part of, what God going to do is he just simply use somebody else. And so we got to understand that. We change administrations at this particular church and at other churches, and people want to fall off as if it's going to affect God's program. God's not moved by that. He said it's not by might. In other words, we don't affect anything when it comes down to the Lord. God was showing me that when I was laying in that hospital bed, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't do nothing for my wife. I couldn't do nothing for my family. I couldn't go nowhere. But God was showing me that, listen, it don't matter what's going on. The work of the Lord is going to go on irregardless of what's happening. And so people think that if they fall off following the Lord, that the work of the church is going to fall off. Whatever God decides to do, he's going to do it irregardless of you coming or you been participating or you doing it or not. You're not going to hinder God's program. God is not, he's not hindered by our lack of doing things according to his will. When sometimes we do things, we have our own hidden motives. God knows what your hidden motives are. So we got to understand that when God see this thing, he see that when we have hidden motives, these hidden motives, God see that and it's not going to hinder his program. When God give a place a man as a pastor, when he places him as being in lead and he's got the headship and he's anointed by God, what we got to do is get in and follow him, because when we don't follow him, we're not going to block things because we're not doing things according to God's will. God said his will is going to go on irregardless of what we do. And so we got to understand that. God is not slow to replace us when we get into his way. He says not by might. In other words, he's not slow to do that. If you get in the way of the Lord, you'll find out. We talked about this before we got a pastor. God will move you out of the way so that his program can go forward and he can do what he's going to do. God says, if we stand in the way of his projects, we stand in the way of his ministries, his development, then God will remove you and he'll use somebody else. So we got to understand, Zechariah was telling them this, and he was trying to encourage the people. And I want to encourage us, because what I want us to understand is we have a lot of stuff that's going on. I know we went through the pandemic. We're still going through it. We still have a lot of sickness. We still have a lot of death. But a lot of us cannot get healed because we simply won't follow the Lord the way we're supposed to. God knows what we do behind the scenes. He know how we carry ourselves. He know how we try to make things fall. He know how we try to triple things so it don't turn out the way God wanted to be. But when we do that, God cannot bless us as a people. And so we want to be a blessed church. We want to have blessed families. We want to have blessed communities. What we got to do is we got to be encouraged according to what God wants for his will. And so that's why God said it's not by might. In other words, it's not by our might, but it's by his. Not only did he say it's not by might, he said it's not by power. Man's strength is an aid to God, but when it's an aid to God, no matter how powerful we are in strength, finance, and abilities, God can still get his mission and his will done without any of us. I can tell you right now, everybody that's here, God can get whatever you want to get done without using any of us. So don't come to a point in your life and thinking that you're going to hold up God's will in the church. So sometimes we do so much in the church, in the church house. We have positions, we have things, we get involved in church, and we think that when things don't go our way and we get an attitude with the church, with the pastor, with God, we think we can just fall off doing what we got to do. Zechariah said, no, you can do what you want to do. He said, when the word came, it's not by power. In other words, it don't matter how strong you is. Don't matter how many strong men. Don't matter how many strong women. Don't matter what our finances are. Don't matter what's going on. God is saying he can get whatever he want to get accomplished without us. And that's just the way it is. So you got to realize that God uses us in order to accomplish his will. And when he uses us to accomplish his will, he wants us to do it in love and in fashion the way he wants us to do it. So what Zechariah is trying to say here is he's trying to say, listen, the temple was starting to be rebuilt by Zerubbabel. And he was saying that it's going to continue to be rebuilt, but it's not going to be done by might or by our power, but it's going to be done by his spirit. And so we got to understand that's just how God operates. And so we as Christian people, we learn how to operate the way God intended for us to operate and do the things God wants to do. We'll be a better church. We'll be better suited for our community. We cannot help people that's around us when we ourselves are not together. And we ourselves are not working together as a perfectly fitted, jointed church. Everybody has different responsibilities. Everybody has different gifts. Everybody got different things. But what we got to understand is God uses that and he put it all together so that we can become one church. And once we become one church, then we're powerful and the devil cannot destroy or come against that because it's one church. And we're not talking about the bricks and the mortar. See, a lot of times people, they get their mind wrapped up around the church house. People want to talk about what they gave, what they did, how long they've been here. God's not concerned with none of that. What God's concerned about is us doing his will. And that's all he wants us to do. And then when we do the will of God and we do according to his will, then we can get mighty results. If we're going to be a praying church and we say we love the Lord and we're going to turn it over to him, once we do that, God can use us to create and do awesome things. But God's not moved if you don't use us, because that's why he says is God use us who he will. And it doesn't matter how mighty men or women we have. God don't need any of us. He need us to change our attitudes towards the church. God need helpful, loving people who want his ministries to go forward regardless of what it takes. And sometimes we don't want to just do according to God's will. We want to do according to ours. God will get his will done with or without any of us if we leave the church and stop serving him because things are not going our way. God will simply just use someone else. And that's what he do. And you ever notice? And I always notice that when people leave, sometimes people leave in droves. God sends people in droves. And they send willing, able bodies to do things. And so that's why, you know, I do so much for God because God is good to me and my family. I'm not just doing it because I'm here. I'm not just doing it because of Pastor Rogers. I do it because of who the Lord is and what the Lord do for me. So God said, Zechariah was telling them, it's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. And so we're going to get into this right here, by my spirit. God works out his purpose through his Holy Spirit. No verse is more germane to the life of today's affluent church than this one. When you look at chapter 4, verse 6, when he's talking about that, it's talking about the Spirit of God. Nations and churches truly prosper not as a result of their erosion or financial resources, but only because God's power is in operation. Don't make no mistake about it. It don't matter how powerful we are. Don't matter how big we are. Don't matter how much money we have. It still has to operate by God's Holy Spirit and by his power. If it doesn't operate by that, then we're just wasting our time because the church is not going anywhere. The angel suggested to Zerubbabel would finish the temple through the abundant supply of the Spirit of God. Thus, the oil for the lamp is associated with the Holy Spirit by his enabling the temple would be complete and every obstacle, mighty mountain, to rebuild would be removed. Military strength, mighty, and human manpower power could not accomplish this task. But spirit and empowered workers under the direction and leadership of Zerubbabel would do so. So what God wants to understand is all this stuff being accomplished with rebuilding the temple will be accomplished under the leadership of somebody, which was Zerubbabel. And what he was saying was it wasn't going to be done based off of mighty numbers of men or women. It wasn't going to be done based off of the financial resources, and it wasn't going to be done based off of them being able to physically do it or the army or whatever. He said this had to be accomplished through the Spirit of God. And that's how the church moved forward, by being accompanied, by being moved forward through the Spirit of God. And that's what God's looking for from us. He said, it's by my Spirit. You know, when I was in the hospital, my wife called me. She says, David, she says, a tire light came on. I said, don't worry about it. I said, just drive it. She says, well, it says call roadside service. I said, don't worry about it. I said, just drive it. I said, that's why I got it. I said, everything is covered on it. So if they've got a problem, they got to fix it. Just like that. But what God was showing me was I always pride myself being able to be there to help out my family. I'm laying in bed. I can't do anything. Okay? What God is saying is, I got this by my Spirit. You're in the bed. You can't do anything. I'm going to take care of this. And so that's why I'm like with Pastor. Like, you take care of God's business, God's going to take care of yours. She was going back and forth, and God took care of her. And I thank God for that. They took care of me, and God took care of them. And that's just how God is. God was saying, listen, I know you got the physical ability. I know you got the know-how, but you can't go nowhere. And the reason why you can't go nowhere, because you're bedbound and you're in the bed. But God said, my Spirit going to take care of it. And she ain't had no problem. Go back and forth to the house, no problem. What she had to do. So that's what I'm saying. So that's what God is saying, what is going to accomplish the goal in the church today. God was showing me that, okay, it doesn't matter the physical ability that we have. It doesn't matter what we do. It don't matter what people say. All the negative stuff people say, all negative stuff people do, God is saying, listen, you just watch me. Let me do this. And when God takes hold of the reins of the church and we allow him to do it, God can move things forward. And that's just how he is. And he'll move things according to his will. And that's why he said it's by my Spirit. And so that's what the church got to get in their mind right now. It don't matter about all this stuff that's going on. It's by his Spirit, not by ours. It's by his. And so when we start following him and start doing it by his Spirit, things will start changing for us. Things don't change for us because we want to follow everybody but the Lord. What we look like, having new converts come to Bible study tonight, and there's two or three people, and we in here shouting on Sunday time, we love the Lord. You don't back off coming to church because the pastor's not going to be here. This is not a vacation day for you. You come to church because you love the Lord. If you love the Lord, you're going to be here. Ain't nobody got to beg you to come. And I'm about to beg you to do anything. And that's why he said it's by my Spirit. And so you got people who think that I control this thing. I control the church. If I stop coming, I stop doing, I stop cleaning, I stop singing, then things going to fall apart. God said, no, it's not going to fall apart. And the reason why it's not going to fall apart, because it's by my Spirit. And that's what he's saying. He said it's not by my nor by power, but it's by my Spirit. And that's what God wants us to understand. He wants us to understand it's by his Spirit. And so that's why God explained to Zechariah that Zerubbabel's finishing the restoration temple would drive critics to silence, for they would know God had sent the prophet and the reconstructionist. So, in other words, when God accomplishes purpose without the ones that's negative, without the ones that's naysayers, the ones that's always got something to say, that silenced them because they see that this is the will of God. And so when it's the will of God, it's going to move forward with or without us. And so we had to understand that. Like the eyes is talking about in this chapter right here, talking about the eyes of the Lord. It says that the seven lights symbolize God's worldwide scrutiny, for nothing is hidden from him. That's why I was talking about when you talk about the name of Zechariah. It's saying right here, Zechariah means Yahweh remembers. I want you to understand something. When you do something against the Lord, he remembers. Okay? Don't do what you're supposed to do, whatever God called you to do. When you stop coming to church, when you stop falling down on the Lord, thinking you're hurting everybody else, the Lord remembers. And that's what he does. And that's why he said everything is done by my power. He's not going to allow His will to not be done because we won't do our part. And so he's going to do what he has to do. And so we got to understand us as Christian people that that judgment begins at the house of God. If it begins at the house of God, you know, God's going to judge us for the things that we're doing. And so we got to understand that's how God operates. So God is good. This oil that was flowing was the oil, and it was representative of the Holy Spirit taking over. It flows all the time. And so the Holy Spirit flows all the time because of the fact that God used the Holy Spirit to accomplish his task. And when he used the Holy Spirit, he used it through us. So we have to get into a notion and understand that, listen, this is not about us. This is bigger than us, way bigger than us. This is all about the Lord. We have a pastor that God has given us. We have to get in behind him. He gives him the vision. He gives him the things to do. And we have to do what the pastor say do. And that's just the way it is. When people have a problem with the pastor, you got a problem with God. And the reason why you have a problem with God, because he's God's man. And he's his anointed one. And because he's his anointed one, that's the one that you have to follow. And I'm going to just tell you right now, whenever we do Bible study, and the Reverend Mills will tell you, he don't tell us what to teach. He don't tell us what to teach. This don't come from none of him. This is what the Lord gave me. And that's what I'm telling you right now. And he was showing me this stuff while I was in the hospital bed and was saying, see, you can't do certain things because you got to depend on me. And that's just the way it is. And so our life comes by way of depending on the Lord. And so we learn to follow him. Like I said, it says it's by his Spirit, not ours. And so God is not going to let his mission, he's not going to let his will, he's not going to let his ministries, he's not going to let his church fail. And we're not talking about the bricks, we're talking about the church of God. And so people are looking for us to be the children of God that God called us to be. And when we learn to be the children of God, we can be effective in actually saving people's souls. We should have a desire for salvation for other people that's lost. Not just people that we know, but people that's in our community, people on our jobs, and everywhere. But we have to do it through the Spirit of God. And so when you do it through the Spirit of holiness, that's just the way it is. So when you look at chapter 4, God is talking about this. It says that he's talking about the mountains. And he's talking about the obstacles that's being placed or that was in Zerubbabel's way. God says that he's going to remove those obstacles and he's going to make it easy for him. And that's why he says that this completion of building the temple cannot be done by us. It had to be done by his Spirit. Because the only person that can remove the obstacles, the only person that can help get the task completed, the only person that can do it is the Lord. And so when we start following him and start getting behind what God wants us to do, that's what God wants us to do as individuals. So when you're talking about the obstacles, Zerubbabel also was saying that he was going to bring forth the capstone. In other words, he was going to complete the task that God gave. And when he complete the task that God gave, he was going to do it, you know, because he had started the foundation himself. So the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. In other words, Zechariah was saying, you will know that I am the prophet that God has sent to you. And that's how things go forward, because what they do is that God uses people for his benefit. And when he uses for his benefit, when people put up a hindrance and they try to stop the program of God and it go forward, what happens is you'll know that this is the man that God sent, because things are going forward according to God's plan, not according to our plan. So it's by his Spirit and not by ours. So I just want to encourage you tonight to understand that this is not about us, but it's all about him. And that's why I serve the Lord so much, because the Lord need us to do his will. But if we don't do his will, he can get somebody else. And that's just simple the way it's put. So don't get to a point in your life and thinking that you're bigger than God. And what I mean by that is you think that you can stop God's program or you can bring it down, because you can't. You can't do it because you can't stop it, because when it's by his spirit, when the Holy Spirit take hold of it, that's just the way it's going to be. God wanted them to explain that to them because he wanted them to understand that this cannot be stopped long as my spirit is involved in it. And it's going to be built. It's going to be done. It's going to be done according to plan. And it's going to be done by my spirit, not by your might, not by your power, but it's going to be done by my spirit. In other words, it's going to be accomplished according to my will. And so that's what God wanted us to know tonight. And like I was saying, judgment begins at the house of God. And if we going to be judged by the Lord, let me tell you something right now. I'm not going to hell through by way of the doors of the church. I'm just telling you right now, if you're going to go to hell, you may as well go out and have your fun. Don't waste your time in church. Don't waste your time in worship. I'm not going to hell through by ways of the doors of the church. If you're going to come in here, this is not a game. This is not a show. This is not what we want to do for ourselves. This is about the Lord, and this is serious business. So if you want to have a relationship with him, and that's what God wants, to have a relationship with him, then we got to be followers of him. And when you read his word and you follow his word according to plan, and you start lining up what God wants you to do and start doing it by his spirit, you will learn. And that's why I said, if your plan is to go to hell, don't go through by way of the church doors. You may well go out there and just have your fun like everybody else, because God's program is going to go forward with or without you. And it's going to be done by his spirit. Amen. Amen. And God bless you and keep you tonight. And we thank God for those who came out tonight. I'm not trying to be hard on anybody. I just want to encourage us to be what we're supposed to be. And that's Christians, followers of Christ. And we just need to remember that just because the pastor's not here, God is still here. And God can see everything that we do. And if we don't follow him according to his will, then that's going to be bad for us. So we have to understand that God is awesome. He takes care of us. He does a great job for us. And in order for him to continue to take care of us, we have to do it. Before I go, I wanted to say we're gonna have prayer before we leave. That I thank y'all for y'all thoughts. Thank y'all for y'all prayers. Thank you for the calls, everybody. It was pretty rough on Thursday, so I didn't know if I was gonna make it or not. In fact, the guy. When they took me to the emergency room, he came upstairs early morning when they put me in ICU. He said, man, he said, I had to come check on you. He said, man, you were talking some kind of crazy when you got here. I said, not me. He said, oh, yeah. Yeah, you was. So I had some pretty special people who thought about me and took care of me, and I thank God for that. My wife, my mother-in-law. So, yeah, they took real good care of me. So mother-in-law, she's a special woman. Yes, she was hollering through the phone to my wife. She said, you got to get him to the emergency room. You got to get him to the hospital now. And I wouldn't go. So I ain't going. But she said, no, babe, you got to go. And she said, you got to go now. And I'm glad I did, because when I got there, the guy recognized all the signs, and he said, look, we got to get him started right away. We can't wait. So take him on room 24 and go ahead and get him started. So my wife said I was fussing at her and everything else. I didn't want to go, but I did. So, yeah. My oldest daughter was with her, and she helped out a whole lot. She couldn't come out there. She stayed in the car for a long time, but, you know, she always called me Mr. McCoy all the time. She loved herself some Mr. McCoy. And my wife started getting nervous. So she said, no, you just get out of the way, Mama. Let me take care of him. She's like, Dave, you got to go. Mr. McCoy, you're going to have to go. You got to go to the hospital. And I did. So I thank God for that. My mother-in-law, she said, well, listen, she said, you're going to have to go. I'm going to call the ambulance. I said, you don't even know my address. Well, she don't. She didn't. She says, you're my son. She said, I'll find you. All right. Is what she said. She said, I'll find you. And I thank God for that. And I was talking to my daddy. And my wife was talking to my dad, and he said, you know, Nicole, y'all some special people. I thank y'all for taking care of my son. I tell you do a good job taking care of my son. I love you for it. Me and Janet love you a lot. I thank God for Jesus. But if I hadn't went to the hospital, I probably wouldn't even be here today. But I thank God for Jesus. And that's why I take my ministry serious. I take God serious, and I take what I do serious. I take my family serious, and I thank God for all of them. I thank God for all of them. Like I said, I thank y'all for your thoughts. I thank y'all for your prayers. A lot of people didn't know what was going on. Some people didn't even know the Sunday. Ms. McKevin, she called me and chewed me out in the hospital because I didn't call her. I said, yeah, I know. But I was doing better then. I tried to come to church on Sunday. I did. My wife wouldn't let me come. So, I mean, I was still in the hospital. I couldn't come anyway. But I told her, so when I get out of the hospital, I'm going by the church. And God bless y'all and God keep y'all. So, I guess we'll end with prayer. Well, we'll have a short prayer circle, but we end with prayer. Yes, sir.
I appreciate the message. And take it to heart. I believe in the Lord. I trust in the Lord. And
yes, sir.
All else fails, she's going to be there.
That's right.
All right.
Mike. Okay. I'm telling the truth, so. We got a him lady on. She can sing for us tonight.
Let's go ahead
with prayer. All right. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you tonight, dear God. And we want to give you all the praise, the glory, all the honor, and in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. And we pray, dear God, that it don't fall on deaf ears. We pray, dear God, that it take root in the heart. We ask, dear Heavenly Father, that you help us, dear Heavenly Father, to be a light to those that surround us. Help us, dear Heavenly Father, to look at ourselves, dear Heavenly Father. We pray, dear God, that we examine ourselves, dear Heavenly Father. Help us to be better Christians for you. Help us to be an example. Help us to love you, Lord. Help us to be helpful. Help us to be kind. Help us, dear Heavenly Father, to reach out to those who need help, dear Heavenly Father. And we thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, dear God, for this church family. We pray that you continue to bless this church, dear Heavenly Father. We know, dear Heavenly Father, that you are here, dear God, and we ask that you continue to work with us, dear God. Every one of us, dear God, the way you want to work with us, dear God. You know what we need in our households. You know our sickness, dear Heavenly Father. You know there's a half deaf in the family. And we pray, dear God, that you touch them, dear Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, dear God, that your will be done in our life, dear Heavenly Father. And we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, right now for everything that you have done for us. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for our pastor, dear Heavenly Father. Continue to watch over him and his family, dear Heavenly Father. Keep him, dear Heavenly Father, as he travels travel to Heavenly Father. You know the Heavenly Father, what he's standing in need of, dear God. We ask that you bless him to Heavenly Father, his family. We ask that you uphold him to Heavenly Father, strengthen him to Heavenly Father in the areas of his weakness, dear God. And we thank you for it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray to Heavenly Father, you just continue to work with the associate ministers here to Heavenly Father. Touch them to Heavenly Father. Touch their families to Heavenly Father. Touch our hearts, touch our minds. Help us to be unified to Heavenly Father for one purpose, dear God. Help us to lift up your holy name, dear God. And we thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray to Heavenly Father that your will be done in our life, dear Heavenly Father. And we pray, dear God, you continue to strengthen us and encourage us, dear Heavenly Father. Work with our deacons, dear Heavenly Father. Work with their families, dear Heavenly Father. Continue to touch them, dear Heavenly Father, and strengthen them, dear God. Let the offices of this church together, God, continue to work together. Help them to be unified with our pastor, dear Heavenly Father. Help us, dear God, to not take our positions lightly, dear Heavenly Father, but seriously, dear Heavenly Father, so that we can lift up and praise you and magnify your holy name. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the opportunity to worship you and praise you, dear Heavenly Father. We ask, dear God, that you touch each family that's represented here right now in the name of Jesus, dear Heavenly Father. Heal them, dear Heavenly Father. We ask, dear God, that your will be done in their lives, dear God. You know what they stand in need of, dear God, and we ask that you grant it according to your will. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father. We ask that you cover our children here, dear Heavenly Father. Cover our youth department. Cover every auxiliary, dear Heavenly Father. Help us, dear Heavenly Father, have a mind that's stayed upon you. You know what we stand in need of, dear God. You know the unity that we need as a church family, dear Heavenly Father. And we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for those that volunteer. We thank you for those that work in this church, dear God. We thank you for all the officers, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for all the families that are represented, dear Heavenly Father. And we ask that your will be done in their lives. Continue to inspire them, dear God. Continue to help them, dear Heavenly Father, to have their mind set upon you. And we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for everything you have done for us. We thank you for the healing, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for everything right now, dear Heavenly Father. You know what we need, dear Heavenly Father. And we pray, dear God, that you just continue to heal us, dear God, according to your will. And we ask, dear God, that your will be done in our lives. And we pray that you be lifted up, you be glorified, you be magnified in the mighty name of Jesus. And we're praying, dear God, when everything is said and done, you have all the praise, you have all the glory, you have all the honor in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask, dear God, you keep our children. We ask that you place a loving arm around them, dear Heavenly Father. Able them, dear Heavenly Father, to just do your will, dear Heavenly Father. No matter what come their way, dear God, we ask that you keep them, dear God. Protect them, dear God, as they're in school. Protect them as they travel down these dangerous highways. Protect them as they be out with their friends, dear Heavenly Father. You know, dear God, when people set traps for them, dear Heavenly Father, and we ask that you foil them, dear Heavenly Father, so that your children, dear God, will not be exposed. And we thank you for them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray that you continue to grow this church family. Continue to grow our youth department, dear Heavenly Father. Continue to just work with every head and auxiliary here. And we pray, dear God, when everything is said and done, you have all the praise, you have all the glory, you have all the honor in the mighty name of Jesus. And we pray, dear God, if there's any bereaved family, dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you comfort them, dear Heavenly Father. Console them, dear Heavenly Father. We know that they going through their hour of bereavement, but we ask that you care for them, dear God, and comfort them. Let them know that you love them, dear Heavenly Father. And we thank you for it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for those that's sick, that's shut in, dear Heavenly Father, those that's on our prayer list, dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you touch them, dear Heavenly Father. We ask, dear God, that you just continue to help our prayer list to go down, dear Heavenly Father. Heal the ones that's on them, dear God. Restore their sick bodies, dear Heavenly Father. Help them, dear Heavenly Father, to be healed according to your will. And we thank you for it right now. And we just pray that when everything is said and done, you have all the praise, you have all the glory, you have all the honor. It is in the powerful and mighty name of Jesus we do pray and do thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.